So as you heard Megan read part of what I'm going to read to you, we're going to walk through this John chapter 10, 1 through 11 here, and where Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. And so this is a passage, one of the more popular passages, obviously. A lot of songs and hymns have been written about this very topic, you know, like I am Jesus' little lamb, or I just want to be a sheep. Don't worry, we get to sing that today. But so why does Jesus call himself the Good Shepherd? I always ask myself that every time I get to this passage. And it's a good thing to remind yourself, why does he call himself this? And so if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. By the way, who's ever heard that phrase from their parent before? I remember my dad saying that to us probably about 1,000 times. If I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. Context is helpful and important. So why did Jesus say this? Well, right before this, John chapter 10, Jesus had just healed the blind man that was born blind from birth. We talked about this passage a number of weeks ago. And this blind man was so excited. All his friends, family, people who knew him as the blind guy that sat outside the temple gates were all shocked and stunned, of course, that this guy now could see. And so he went to, this brought him, they brought him to the religious authorities, who were the Pharisees, to kind of tell on him, and then they wanted to know. So they conducted an investigation, you know, how did this guy who was blind now get to see? And he told them, you know, Jesus of Nazareth healed me. They wanted him to recant the truth. He wouldn't. He told the truth about who did it. And so they threw him out of the synagogue. They threw him out. And so in these verses leading up to John chapter 10, you hear Jesus call the Pharisees blind guides. He calls them robbers and thieves in John chapter 10, who were destroying God's flock. And the reason Jesus says these things is because they were the very ones who were supposed to be taking care of God's flock, not throwing them out of the synagogue or the temple. Instead, these Pharisees had become spiritual thieves and robbers who were leading people away from God instead of leading them towards God's ideas, because it had become all about their rules and regulations that they were imposing on the people, all these things that they needed to follow that were not, they were in addition to God's word. And so what it boils down to is the Pharisees were not being faithful shepherds, which is the first line on your sheets. They were not being faithful shepherds. Because throughout the whole Bible, again, it's a common theme. Remember, everything's tied together by the crimson thread. Shepherds were always the ones that led God's people, his flock. And so let's take a look at John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. With that context, this is why Jesus now says these following words. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So you don't have to be in the sheep business to understand that they are safer when they are in the pen, which is what Jesus is talking about here, especially at nighttime when there's more danger. People can hide, you know, do things in the cover of darkness, or when wild animals may come and try to steal the sheep. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist either to figure that out. They're safer when they're all together in the pen. But there would be people other than the shepherd who would try to come in. But they wouldn't come in through the door. They come in through another way, to rob and to steal. And these people that are doing that are really not interested in the well-being of the sheep. They simply are interested in stealing and taking away the sheep from the flock. And of course, who's behind all this? Satan. He doesn't care how they get taken away. He just wants to take us away from the flock. And so these words that Jesus tells us are a warning to us today as well in 2023. Now granted, we don't have Pharisees, because remember, the Pharisees had done this to the blind man. They had robbed him. They threw him out of God's house. They were sneaking into the flock and claiming authority over the flock outside of God's word. And just like then, we don't have Pharisees, you know, per se nowadays, but we have people going around today in 2023 that want to do the exact same thing. They want to rob and steal you away from the flock with deceptive teachings, things that are not part of God's word. And so where these voices that we hear, they come from all kinds of places. We hear these voices on TV, social media, which we have usually in our pockets 24/7. These voices come from Washington, D.C. or Hollywood. These voices are trying to lure us away to live the ways of the world. And then there are also those voices who claim to be from God. And you want to know something I find extremely interesting, and I know God is always working, but when I'm doing sermons, it seems like it's a never-ending process, like in my head. I can't stop it. I can't turn it off, which makes me crazy usually on Saturdays. You can just ask my wife. There's a certain point on Saturday when I start freaking out a little bit because I have to preach God's word to you people. And then I get to be a little grumpy at home. But see, Satan does not want me to do that. And here's what happened to me yesterday. I can't even make this up. Guess who came to my house yesterday? The Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm not making it up. And they came up and they asked me a question. I was nice to them. I was outside working at the time, so I couldn't hide in the house, you know. So they saw me, and they came over and they asked me, and they said, "Well, can we talk to you for a second?" I'm like, "Sure." I knew who they were already. And then they said, "Well, do you know what's going to happen when the world ends?" Or something to that effect. "Do you know where you're going?" And I said, "Well, yeah, actually I do. I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And because of that, I get to go to heaven. And I was baptized in the triune God." Throw that at them too, by the way, because they don't believe in the triune God. And I could tell after I said that, he realized that I was not going to be an easy mark. That's a way to talk to them, by the way. And they handed me their little thing. And I only took it because I wanted to use it as a resource of what they try to say. And I looked at it. They talk about Jesus. See, they sound good, but they're deceptive. They talk about Jesus, but they don't say Jesus is God. They just say Jesus was a good teacher. These are the kinds of deceptive teachings that are out there that you all need to be on the lookout for. And Jesus himself warned us of this, not only here in John 10, but back in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus said this: "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. See, Satan's going to do whatever he has to do to get you away from the flock. Which is why it's such an important thing that we continue to meet together like this. This is where, you know, us brothers and sisters in Christ get to encourage one another. The Holy Spirit works through the Word and through the sacraments and strengthens our faith so that when we are out there where the ravenous wolves are, dressed like sheep, we can take them on. So there's all these other voices around us. We know that. But listen to what Jesus says there in verse 5 or 4. He calls his sheep by name. This is great comfort to you and us. The good shepherd calls you by name. Do you know the voice of the good shepherd? Can you hear it amongst all the other voices that are out there? This is what he's saying to us. His word. And by the way, every Christian sermon should be about this word and about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I give you all the permission, if I don't talk about Jesus and him crucified in one of my sermons, you call me out on it, and I mean it. Let's go on here, verses 6 through 9. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Isn't that funny? He used an analogy that was very pertinent to that day. You know, there was a lot of shepherds and sheep in Israel, and they didn't get this first figure of speech. And so he does it, he says it in another way. Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." The good shepherd is the only door that leads to salvation. And this was the passage that you heard last week from my dad, John 14:6, when Jesus also says in a different way, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The only way. Truth and life. You know, this is why the world hates Christianity, because they don't get it. What else in our world works like this? Everything has been taken care of by the Good Shepherd. We don't need to do anything. Not only that, we are not in charge of anything. And that's why people don't like Christianity. Because people want the freedom to do whatever they want, right? Wouldn't that be nice if we didn't have to live like a Christian sometimes? Just do whatever we want. People want to create their own religions wrapped around that idea of doing whatever they want. Their own gods. Want to create their own moralities. Because we don't like the moralities God's word sets out, so we're going to make up new ones. Because that's what we want. These are the voices that are out there. Use whatever door they want. And the fact that there is one door and only one door repulses some people, which is why they try to find other doors in. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is one of those verses, by the way, that false prophets or false preachers use to teach another gospel. You can twist scripture to say basically whatever you want it to say. They tell people that because Jesus said this, that he wants us to have a lot of money and a lot of stuff here on earth. And so that's what they teach. But and they have huge churches of people following them because their itching ears like to hear that. Wouldn't that be great if we get all kinds of money and stuff if we just do this? That's not what Jesus is talking about at all. You know, sheep don't need much to be happy, do they? They want grass, green grass, a cool stream, shelter, and a faithful shepherd. They're pretty easy. So I ask you the questions. What's your idea of a full life? Are you content with the essentials? Content that we have the promise that Jesus died for us and our sins are forgiven, and because of that, we will have eternal life? Are you content with that? Because that's what his word says. That's what his voice is telling us. It's all because of him. Because I've said this now in the Bible study that we're doing right now in 1 Corinthians, and I've said it before, if we had to depend on ourselves to do all the right things, I can't speak for y'all, but I can speak for myself, I'd be screwed. You know, sometimes we are not as easily pleased like sheep more. We fall into that temptation, don't we? We want more and more and more and more. But that's not what Jesus is talking about when he says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Yes, he takes care of us all here on earth. This is nothing against having money or having stuff. As always, the problem is when we move that stuff up the list to number one and we push Jesus down. That's the problem. You know, maybe this is why Jesus chose the analogy of sheep to describe you and I. Because I don't know how much you know about sheep, but sheep aren't very smart, are they? They're kind of dumb. Yeah, and that's what we are. You know, maybe we could learn something from these simple, stupid animals and should learn from them. And you want to know the amazing thing about this good shepherd, Jesus? He not only calls us sheep, but guess what? He became a sheep just so that he could shed his blood on that cross for you and I. He knows what it's like to be a sheep. He knows everything you go through. He cares. He's by your side. He's that shepherd that guides and directs us every single day. When we stumble off the path, he grabs us back in because he loves us that much. The good shepherd became a sheep in order to purchase his flock with his blood. And listen to verse 11. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then I found this picture that I like. Picture of a cute little lamb with the crown of thorns on. And I just want to leave you with that image. That's exactly what Jesus, the Lamb of God, came to do for us. And he is the door, the only door. And thanks be to God for that. Amen.